Episode 195, Breaking Open, Breaking Bad. Kind of sounded like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am the danger. I am the one who knocks. And we are back. Say my name.
You had told me that quote before I even saw the episode.
Which one, the Say My Name one? Or the Danger?
The Say My Name one.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I am so excited for this episode, Matt.
Yeah, so this is crazy. I looked back through my notes, and you're not going to believe this, but I think it was episode 31 of the Sci-Fi Christian that we mentioned. No, I think it was you that mentioned it. You said, Breaking Bad is not sci-fi, but it's so incredible. We are going to do an episode about this someday. I should have got the clip ready. Just maybe I'll find it and put it at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, imagine that. That was over 2 years ago that we planted the seed. So yeah, go if you want to just hear that clip, go to the end of this episode or listen to episode 31. And you can hear Ben talk. But yeah, so now at this point, I'm almost positive I hadn't started watching it yet.
Yeah, you hadn't.
Like I said, I haven't heard the clip recently. I just know it's in that episode somewhere. So let's just quickly tell our Breaking Bad backstories.
Okay.
You can start. What got you watching it?
Oh man. I started watching right before season 4 started to air. So I caught up during season 4, but I'd heard about it and been kind of reading about it in season 2 and 3 and just hearing people rave about it and everything. Mm-hmm. So I slowly got more and more interested, finally sat down and checked it out and, you know, loved it from the beginning. But as you know, anybody who's watched the show knows, it starts great and gets better every mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. At least this is my opinion. Every season is better than the previous one. Yeah. And it gets so intense. So then, you know, by the time I was hitting season 3 and I knew new episodes were airing, and there was a sense of like, man, I don't want to be behind anymore. I don't want to get caught up. And so I was like binging, watching 6-7 episodes a day to get caught up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I caught up right in the middle of the whole Gus Fring storyline and everything.
Let's just quickly say before we get too far in, all spoilers.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, I mean, I guess we could just do, I don't know. I was trying to think, should we do a beginning portion where we talk about it open-endedly?
I don't think we can.
I don't think we can either. So,
I had the same thought, but as I prepared.
Yeah, so this is going to be all spoilers, so sorry. If you haven't seen it yet, hold off. You should watch the show. It is an amazing show.
Yeah.
We can't, I mean, just the fact that we're talking about it on a sci-fi show, we've never done this as far as I can think of, where we've talked about something that was blatantly not sci-fi.
What does sci stand for in sci-fi?
Science.
Yeah, Mr. White! Yes, science!
It's all sorts of science.
Okay, okay.
And is the show a documentary?
I wouldn't say so.
So you'd say it's fiction?
Yeah, I guess I would.
What does the phi stand for in sci-fi?
That's not for fiction, doesn't it?
Yeah, so science.
So here we go.
Fiction.
All right, so
this might be the most pure sci-fi topic we've ever had.
So I would like to talk about the show with you if you've never watched it, but I just can't recommend it enough. I would rank it above Lost.
And that is high praise.
And that's the highest praise I can give any show. So stop listening. Go watch the entire show all the way through. It's only 62 episodes.
We'll see you back in about 2 days.
Yeah, it's that good.
Yeah, you'll binge through it.
I think it's 61 or 62?
62 episodes.
62 episodes, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Yeah.
You have a weekend ahead of you.
Exactly.
Just do it. All right, so here we go. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah. So
you said middle of the Gus Fring storyline.
So, you know the episode Salute where Gus Fring kills everybody?
Or at the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the first one that I actually caught up all the way for.
Oh, man.
And at the time, we didn't have AMC on cable, so I'd ordered the most recent season on iTunes, which meant I had to wait till Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
And even just that one day break was torturous. So I'd get up Monday mornings and check and see if it was, you know, posted on iTunes yet, and just to watch it as quickly as possible as I could on Monday mornings. And then Annie and I, the next year, I got her into it. So we rewatched the first 4 seasons and then the first several episodes of season 5 until she was caught up, and then, you know, the rest is history. Watched the final episode in our hotel room at unhappiest place on earth, Disney World.
All right, here's my story. Start similar to you. People have been talking about it. You hear more and more about it. It starts to kind of climb up the ranks in your mind of shows I should get to next.
Yeah.
I had at that time been living with my best friend Ryan.
Yes.
So
of Ryan Strelow Studios.
Of Ryan Strelow Studios. And so we would, I forgot what show we watched prior to that, but we would watch, we'd have like a show on Netflix, and then whenever we were kind of around the apartment at the same time, we'd sit down and watch a couple episodes. So we had just finished some show, and I can't remember what it was, and so we needed a new one. So Breaking Bad was, I suggested, actually, I think I was just going to start watching alone, and I was like, hey, maybe we could watch this one together.
Yeah,
I
didn't for your think, mandate.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd really be into it, but yeah, he did get into it just like me. But the only thing that went wrong then is I would want to watch more, and I was probably around more to watch it, and then he was gone. Yeah. I couldn't watch it. So I had, my entire viewing was really not hampered by Ryan, but it was like held back by Ryan in the sense that we were sticking together in it. So, all right. So then flash forward, I think we could catch all the way up until, I believe, the end of season four.
Yeah.
By the time I started watching, I think I only had to, I don't think I had to wait too much. And so I've been waiting for season five, part one to show up on Netflix. And it finally showed up. And then I was getting married.
Oh no.
And so
not oh no getting married.
Yeah, no, but just so Ryan and I really didn't have time to get together to watch it. So we probably saw three episodes together. And then now we're fast approaching the finale. It's going to be airing. And I'm laying in bed one night. Did I tell you this story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think.
Well, that's okay. You okay, told them this story.
So I'm laying in bed the night before the finale and realizing that the next day I'm going to actually be traveling for work. And so I'll be in a hotel that will have AMC, but I'm still many episodes behind.
Yeah.
And so I could not sleep thinking about this. And so I got up and watched Breaking Bad in the middle of the night and cheated on Ryan for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
It was the first episode I watched without him. So I could have been wrong a little bit on my episode count, but just so you can kind of, listeners, so you can catch up to where I was, the episode I watched in the middle of the night was the train robbery episode.
Mm-hmm. Dead Freight.
Yeah, Dead Freight.
Which I believe is the fifth episode of season five.
Okay. So I had watched the end of episode four then of season five, and then the full episode of Dead Freight. Then the next day I got to my hotel room and I couldn't watch the finale. I wasn't that caught up, but I did watch straight through all the rest of the episodes in the Netflix season.
Nice.
Then I had to go to bed, but I purchased on Amazon Prime the season pass.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next day I have my work day in the Milwaukee area. And then had a little bit of downtime during the afternoon. And I watched on my Kindle Fire three or four episodes just in my car.
Yeah.
Just I plugged in the audio stream into my car and I just watched through them, and these episodes were amazing.
Oh yeah.
Then
the second half of season five.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Yes. Then I had an evening meeting that I had to be at. And so when I finally got back to my hotel room at probably 9:15, I was determined I'm not going to sleep until I finish Breaking Bad. This is a Monday night after the finale.
Yeah. Which means that being that close, you're avoiding the internet like the plague.
Yes, exactly. I was not on Facebook or Twitter or the internet. I was off all day. Because I didn't mention this, but in the morning meeting that I was at, some people had started bringing up Breaking Bad, and I was like, no, I have to, and I left. And then at the evening meeting, people brought up again, and then again, I was like, I'm going home tonight to watch this. So I watched it straight through. I was up until 2 a.m. at the hotel finishing Breaking Bad. It was an amazing experience. Then I was so pumped about it, I wanted to read more of like the making of the show and Vince Gilligan and all these things. And so I was up until 3 o'clock that night, the day after the finale aired, just catching up. And then I could read what other people were saying. I read some reviews. But obviously, if we're doing this episode, Ben and I both loved it. We don't have to hide that the show was amazing. The finale was perfect.
It was.
So let's just talk about the finale first, because that's fresh in people's minds. We'll talk about all these other, we have a lot of points to go through, but the finale, here's what I felt about it, wasn't shocking. Like, it wasn't a surprise to me. It was about what I expected, but not in a disappointing way.
Right. It fulfilled exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. So
yeah, I feel like the episode Ozymandias, which was the one two before, that was the one that was like, oh my gosh, that was the shocking one.
Yeah.
And then the last two were just so fulfilling as they brought the story to a satisfying conclusion.
I've heard some people say that the Ozymandias, that in some ways was the series finale, and then the rest of the show was the epilogue.
You could look at it that way.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
But the finale, perfect. Essentially perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It just wrapped up every storyline. The whole last season, they did a great job. you know, Lost. I brought it up earlier. People will complain that it didn't wrap up well. This show could not have wrapped up better. It tied up every loose end. I wasn't left with any questions. There was one thing that kind of bothered me, and it was the fact that in season one, they had tackled these characters involved with the company Grey Matter, these ex-partners of Walt. And yeah. I always kind of felt like it's weird that they brought that up and it really hasn't been an issue for all the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And then they brought it all back around during the last season and made it worth it that that even existed. Did you ever feel that way? Like the Grey Matter characters were kind of like, why did they have that little storyline for a little while?
A little bit. I mean, I think it would have worked because it does fulfill an important role in season one. So it would have worked even if they hadn't brought him back, but it was that much more fulfilling that they did. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It was not only the last episode, but you think about the entire last half of season five. Nearly every episode has a huge payoff that we've been wanting to see, where Hank finds out at the end of the half season break, mm-hmm. Hank's in the bathroom and he sees the book and he more or less figures it out. And then because it's TV and the final season, you expect that they're going to stretch this out and we're going to have like four episodes of Hank investigating. No. First episode back, we have confrontation between Hank and Walt.
That scene. Okay. And keep in mind, I'm watching this in a car.
Yeah.
But it still was an amazing experience. I'm sitting there and he closes the garage door.
It was like,
I was like,
crap's going down.
Yes, exactly. This is it. Oh my gosh.
And then Walt tries to deny it, and like they're playing back and forth, but then when he gets to the line where he's like, if you don't know who I am, you'd best tread lightly. He's like, yeah, it's going down.
Oh yeah, I loved it so much.
And you know, and then it was a couple episodes later that we have Jesse finds out about Brock, you know, that Walt poisoned this kid at the end of season four.
I'm glad that he found that out, but it was a little bit... I don't think his line of thought to get to that was perfectly laid out. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, it just kind of hit him.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah. But it's just payoff after payoff, you know, moment we'd been waiting to see.
One payoff, and we'll have to talk about this more later, but one of the most shocking moments for me in the whole show, and a moment where, you know, there's all these little steps where Walt is turning into the villain.
Yes.
And one huge one is the day that he lets Jesse's girlfriend lay there and die.
Yes.
To protect himself.
Right.
It's totally a selfish motivation. And so because it was such a big moment to me in the show, and maybe the most evil he had been up until that point,
mm-hmm.
I'd just been waiting and waiting for Jesse to find out. Is he going to find out that Walt did this? And then the way that Walt revealed it, I mean, it was perfect for the show. It wasn't like an accident.
No, nope.
It was like Walt was mad, went straight to his face, and just told him just to hurt him.
Yeah,
it's so messed
Jesse's
up.
Jesse's captured by the neo-Nazis at that point.
And essentially, Walt is blaming Jesse for Hank's death.
Yes.
Hank's death was the most tragic one on the whole show, I think.
It was shocking. I mean, because I think that a lot of us thought that's going to be the finale.
Yeah.
And so it's the end of, you know, it's the end of the fourth to last episode, so we have three more after this. And we have Hank arresting Walt.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, and there was just a sense, and I was almost worried at that point, because it's like, okay, what are they going to do these last few episodes? No concern.
Because we had already had a flash forward. We saw that Walt wasn't going to be in prison.
Exactly. So it's like, well, how's he going to get out and all of this? And yeah, so fulfilling.
Do you think that they shouldn't have done the flash forward? Like, do you think that the Walt being handcuffed would have meant more if we didn't know he was going to be fine in a year?
No, because I think that even if you don't know he's going to be fine in a year, you know that there's three episodes left to go.
Yeah.
And the last three episodes aren't just going to be a courtroom scene.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, I mean, I like the flash forward a lot. I think it gave you a real sense of that what you were going to watch this season. Because that's like the first scene of the season.
Yeah.
Was things are going to fall apart. And somehow Walt is going in at the end of this year in a last stand, and we'll see how that's going to come down.
Okay, after the half-season break, and they have the first opening. You know how they always do, like, a cold open, something happens?
This show was the master of cold opens. Yeah,
totally. And so Walt walks into his old house that's all fenced up, and you see spray paint on the wall, Heisenberg.
Yes.
And the house was in shambles, and you're like, what happened?
It
makes you so excited for watching the rest of the show.
Yeah.
there's so much good things to say. So we'll probably come back to a lot of these different moments, but you had done a great job at laying out some different notes on things you thought we should hit during this first episode. And then just for the sake of time, we're going to split this conversation into two episodes. So we'll sit here, talk straight through, but yeah, it'll actually be two episodes, one all about Breaking Bad in general and our thoughts and feelings on it, and then a second one on our favorite episodes, and that'll probably be a shorter one.
Yep. So where do you want to start here?
I have your list in front of me. Should we go just write down number one?
Sure. Yeah, okay. We can do that.
Okay, well, symbolism then. Kind of talking about themes and symbols throughout the series.
Now, this has been fascinating to me because I actually started rewatching the show this last week.
Okay, and I watched the pilot, not all the way through. Okay. But you told me to try to watch a little bit of it. So
yeah.
Just in the little bit I watched, it was already like, oh my gosh, a lot. They did. You could see how they changed some characters right away.
Right.
And how other things like were planted there from the very beginning.
Yeah. But to me, I finished season one today. Okay, so I've watched the entire first season again, and it's fascinating to me how much symbolism and planning there is in the show. And obviously, you know, some characters do change. Kank's more goofy at the beginning and stuff like that. And so, and that's pretty par for the course for TV. It takes a while to settle into who these characters are going to be. But outside of a few things like that that are maybe a little jarring to just go back to, it's incredible. Because Walt feels like a 100% different character in the pilot.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, night and day.
It's amazing what this guy goes through. And it's weird to think about, most of what we see is over the course of one single year.
Yeah.
Even though we've watched four and a half seasons, I think.
Five seasons.
Because doesn't season five open on his... Yeah, season five opens on his 51st birthday.
And the flash forward is his 52nd birthday.
So the entire show spans 2 years.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
But most of what we see is
in one
year and change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so... And maybe we should talk there for the first symbol that I noticed. Is I love how in the first episode, we get the whole thing with the bacon and on the
bacon,
eggs.
Yeah.
You know, where Skyler does his name. But what's fascinating is if you pay attention, it's veggie bacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's fake bacon.
Okay.
And so we have this sense of this is Walt's life, but there's a level of, there's a synthetic quality to his life.
So it's like, this is his life, but there's something not real about it.
Exactly.
So the real him is yet to be seen.
Exactly. Or even that, you know, there's something tragic about that. That this, because I like what the creators do thematically, that it's not just, oh, if Walt had just kept the status quo, everything would have been fine. No, I think you watch the pilot in those first couple episodes, you're supposed to feel like, this guy has a really bad life.
Okay.
Not in the sense of being miserable, but his life, everything in his world is fake.
Mm-hmm.
The bacon is a great example of that, where it's there, but it's fake. And then later, it's real, but he's alone. And that contrast. And then, you know, a slightly graphic, and I'll try not to be crude talking about this, but we see it's his birthday, and we see that he and Skyler are starting to get intimate in the pilot.
Okay.
And it doesn't go well.
Okay.
You know, he can't keep himself going, so to speak. And it's just, it's like they're engaging in marital intimacy, but it feels really awkward and really fake again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pilot closes with him having killed someone,
and
cooked this meth, and then he comes in, and it's super passionate.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to try to hold you off there. I didn't know where you were going to go with it. Yeah, it doesn't seem to have a problem at that point.
Right, yeah. And so it's a fascinating contrast they set up right there between that here it was, he's not a criminal, he's not evil, but it's synthetic, versus now he's doing these terrible things, but there's something in him that is far more genuine than it was before.
Yeah, so I think you're saying right away that Heisenberg, the character that he plays, is his real self.
Oh yeah, there's a huge sense of duality, and I think we'll talk on that a bit more when we get into some of the theology and stuff of this. But here's another symbol that's fascinating in the show. Are you aware, Matt, that Walt takes on characteristics of his victims?
I'm not. Tell me about this.
I have a list of people here.
Okay.
So Crazy 8, the first person that he kills.
Oh my gosh, this episode was amazing.
This
was the first time where you're sitting there and they're having a long scene, conversation. And in regular television, they would never let it run this long.
Right.
Just same place, two people going back and forth. And Ryan and I were sitting there watching it, not bored. We're enthralled. And this is the scene, just like, or this is the episode, basically, where I realized this show is a masterpiece.
It is. This is a great episode.
Yeah, it is.
So, while he has Crazy 8 imprisoned in the basement, he makes him two sandwiches. The first one he brings down, and he sees Crazy 8 tear the crust off. Okay. He realizes Crazy 8 doesn't like crust on his sandwiches. The next one, he cuts it off. Okay. And then Crazy 8 dies, of course. Every sandwich Walt makes for the rest of the show, he cuts the crusts off.
Really?
Yes. It gets better than that. Gus. So Walt kills Gus. In the episode Salute, when Gus poisons himself and he has to make himself throw up, he takes a towel, he puts it on the floor, and kneels before the toilet with this towel.
Yeah.
Walt does the same thing in season 5 whenever he gets sick. It's then every time before that, whenever he's thrown up in the toilet, he doesn't do anything like that, but now it's very
How would
proper.
He know that, though?
It's not meant to be like he's doing it consciously. It's meant to be that he is
absorbing
something from his victims. Plus,
wow.
What type of car is Walt driving when he comes back from New Hampshire?
Is it like a Charger?
It's a Volvo.
Okay.
Exact same type of car that Gus drives is a Volvo. So Walt has become Gus. It gets even better. Mike, Walt kills. Okay. There's a scene early on where Mike and Walt have a drink in a bar.
Okay.
And Walt takes his whiskey neat, which means no ice or anything in it. Mike takes it on the rocks. After Walt kills Mike, there's a scene where Hank offers him a drink. Whiskey on the rocks. Now he takes his whiskey the same way that Mike does.
Oh, my gosh.
The victims of the plane, he hangs on to the pink teddy bear. Gale, he keeps the book that Gale gave him. Yeah. Walt absorbs things from all of his victims throughout the show.
Do you think he felt like the murder of Gale, even though Jesse was the one that pulled the trigger?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, he should have got rid of that book.
Yes.
But then we wouldn't have had the awesome end of the season. But
it's his pride, and it's also this subconscious. He is becoming the people that he kills.
Do you think then... Is the murder the thing that really turns him? And because with every murder, does he get worse?
I think so. And it's fascinating to look at the murders, because when he kills Crazy 8, if you watch that episode, he does it and then he's near hysterical after doing it. And he's sitting there sobbing, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you contrast that to Mike's murder, for instance, where he's just angry and he just shoots this guy for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
And every single one of his murders, he goes further down that road.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff.
You know, and then you have stuff like the colors that are so symbolic in the show.
Yeah, let's talk about the teddy bear you brought up.
Okay.
So, I do like what they did with the flash forwards, or, you know, at the beginning, or was it season 2, right?
Yep, season 2.
A lot of season 2's cold opens were something along the lines of this pool... And the teddy bear and the eye, that the stuffed animal's eye. I know, ultimately, I know it all came from the airplane, but was that payoff worth all these cold opens?
Well, it's interesting what they did with the cold opens.
Well, I know they're black and white. And
they're black and white.
Except for the teddy bear is the only...
Are you aware of the episode title tie-in?
Yeah, I remember it's something about Albuquerque.
There's 4 cold opens in season 2 that... flash forward. If you take just the title of those, Flight, that's the first episode. Second episode is Down. Third episode is Over. Fourth episode is AVQ. Flight, Down, Over, AVQ,
which is Albuquerque, right?
Yeah, that's the code for the Albuquerque airport.
Oh,
is AVQ.
Interesting.
So Flight, Down, Over, AVQ, that they put the spoiler right there in the title for what you were watching. I think that at the time, if you're watching it, I could understand people being a little disappointed. I love it, actually.
You love what?
I love the twist of having the plane explode right over Walt's house.
No, I think I don't mind that. I just wonder. So there was only 4 cold opens like that?
Okay, yep.
Maybe when I was rewatching, I felt like there were more than that. That's not so bad.
And the fourth one is
half, though. That's almost half the shows.
There's 13 episodes. Oh,
13 is not okay.
And the fourth one is on ABQ, which is the season finale.
Okay, that's not a big deal. I guess I was just thinking they made it look like something like was going to happen specifically to Walt, and it just happened to be that things fell into his yard, which isn't a big deal. What I really like about that season 2 finale is that we've already started to see how Walt's actions are so much influencing the people around him.
Yes.
And now we start to see Walt's actions are starting to impact in a negative way a massive amount of exterior people.
Yeah. I love the shot of the plane exploding right over him. And on the one hand, you can say, well, that's so improbable, but it's fiction.
Yeah.
It's meant to say that this is like he's brought down divine judgment upon himself. Mm-hmm. There's literal fire and brimstone raining down on him from the skies. Uh-huh. And the only person he has to blame for it is himself. He could have prevented that.
Yeah.
And it's his own evil that keeps it going.
So as you're watching through, how far are you now in season one, did you say?
Just finished season one. So okay. I haven't started.
So how did you feel that season one lived up to your memories?
Oh, it's better. I mean, I think
it's better.
Yeah. I think every season's better than the one before. So season one is my least favorite season. Okay. But there's just so much there in terms of payoff and setup and moments of watching Walt slowly disappear into Heisenberg. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have our first occurrence of Heisenberg.
Episode 6, right?
Yep, in Crazy Handful of Nothing, which is the one where he confronts Tuco with the Mercury Fulminite. And
I love Heisenberg.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like...
But why? All right, we'll talk about that later. Right, why do I love this why evil do we love, man?
Exactly.
Okay.
And even in some ways, every season is the same story, but it grows and grows and grows. So we see in small ways, like later on, Walt's evil corrupts Skyler big time.
Mm-hmm.
But even here in the beginning, there's a scene where Skyler knows Walt's been going over to Jesse's house. So she makes that connection. He lies to her and says, oh, I'm going over there for pot or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she has this conversation with Marie where she tells a lie and says, I'm writing this short story about someone who smokes pot. Can you give me info on, you know, what that's like and what it does to somebody and all that? And so it's a small lie, but you see even right there how his lie leads Skylar into lying to her sister. So it's like she becomes a reflection of his own evil.
That's interesting.
Leading up to the point where she tells him, go kill Jesse in the last half of the season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. More symbols and themes.
Obviously, colors are big. You know, the whole. And there's some really fascinating breakdowns online.
Yeah, tell me some stuff.
About how when Walt is wearing green, it's symbolic of the greed that he's feeling. And, you know, and versus when there's other colors that are predominantly worn by characters who aren't involved in the meth business. And the black is what he's often wearing when he's at his Heisenberg worst. Like he's always got the hat on and everything. And that's cool. And so there's stuff like that. And then kind of the beige colors are more neutral. Somebody who's on the fence. And so you'll see Walt wear those when he's maybe in the process of trying to get out of the meth business or stuff like that.
Okay.
There's some of it's reaching in terms of what's out there online, but it's well worth looking up in terms of what people have to say about color in Breaking Bad, because the creators were very, very deliberate with outfits and all of that. And then also, and I'm not even sure what this symbol means entirely, but I love all the POV shots throughout the show. You know, they'll open a container and we're looking up at them.
Yeah.
Or something. And there's just something about that that makes it feel very deliberate. What they're doing.
This is not a theme, but another thing I like that they do often is the end theme song. Well, so it's not a theme song. The end credits song is a little bit different every time.
Yep.
In regards to what just happened at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I was trying to think of like themes. I feel like there's a big, obviously, family, big like spotlight on how far will you go for your family.
Right.
And then, but for Walt, it's... Okay, so I know we're just talking all the way through the series. The end confrontation with Skyler.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, when he started saying this again, and Skyler stopped him, I don't want to hear you say you're doing it for your family. I was thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
I was feeling that same thing Skyler was feeling.
We've heard that lie so many times.
I've heard you say this. Well, this is the last episode. Tell her something real. And then he stops, and he finally says, I was doing it for me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm talking about. This episode was so perfect in so many different ways, but I was feeling the same things as the characters in that moment. And so I want to know at what point it changed for him. So I believe during season one, he's still thinking family. Would you say that's true?
Well, I would have said so, too, until I rewatched the pilot.
Okay.
There's a scene in the pilot right when he and Jesse are about to buy the RV. So he gets the, and Jesse says, why are you doing this? And he asks, you know, why does some middle-aged guy break bad?
Yeah, and that because I'd always wondered, what does breaking bad mean? And so basically it just means somebody who out of nowhere decides to do a bad thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And Walt's answer to Jesse is, I am awake. Those are his exact words, and that's what he says to Skyler in the finale. If you watch that whole speech, he says, I did it for me, I liked it, I was good at it, I was awake, I was alive. That's
he says,
speech.
I was awake?
Yes.
So basically, from episode one,
he's doing it for himself. That's what the creators, with that speech in the finale, they're trying to deliberately imply.
Oh, my gosh.
I do think that there's a progression.
Yeah.
I do think that Walt is doing it for his family as well at that point, but he's also in it for himself. And to go back to, you know, the sexual content in the first episode, that's symbolic there, too. He gets a thrill out of doing this, and that's communicated very, very early in the pilot.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Walt Whitman kind of comes up every now and then.
Right.
I have to be honest, this is not my own analysis. I saw somebody talk about this. Do you feel like you probably know more about Walt Whitman than I do? Chances are. So, so do you have any thoughts on their connection?
I don't know enough about Walt Whitman to really get into it. Leaves of Grass. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Mid-season finale of season 5 called Gliding Overall. Is titled after a poem by Whitman.
Yes. So there's probably is more there, but I haven't read enough Whitman to give a thoughtful analysis on it.
No, that's fine. Okay, continue with your themes and symbols.
Okay, so that's what I have for symbols. What I do, I have a lot of stuff on theology in the series, or we can talk characters.
Oh, no, let's do theology.
Okay. So I don't even know where to start with all this. Obviously, maybe start at the broadest one, that the core theology in this series is about the effects of evil.
Yeah, I think Vince Gilligan himself has said the whole lesson of the whole, like, the larger lesson of the whole show is that actions have consequences.
Yes. Yeah, I have the quote from him, actually.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
He says, if religion is a reaction of man and nothing more, it seems to me that it represents a human desire for wrongdoers to be punished. I hate the idea of Idi Amin living in Saudi Arabia for the last 25 years of his life. That galls me to no end. I feel some sort of need for biblical atonement or justice or something. I like to believe there is comeuppance, that karma kicks in at some point, even if it takes years or decades to happen. My girlfriend says this great thing that's become my philosophy as well, and this is fascinating. I want to believe there's a heaven, but I can't not believe there's a hell.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. But what's interesting about that is if you watch the show, Walt's damnation is his own. He has every opportunity at redemption, and he refuses it every step of the way. And that one of the things I loved about the finale that is so perfect is that Walt kills himself, but not on purpose. It's not suicide. He gets hit by one of his bullets in the attack. And to me, that's so perfect. That's the way Walt had to go out. Was not suicide. That wouldn't have fit the character, but it also wouldn't have fit to have somebody else kill him. It was he, through this final act of violence, damns himself. He could have done that different. He could have turned himself into the police and given away the neo-Nazis' location and saved Jesse that way and gotten them that way. But this was about revenge for him. And so because he chooses to go out in this one final act of violence, that's how he ultimately reaps his own reward. And so it isn't even a sense of Walt being punished by someone else. And that's why I'm glad, too, it didn't wind up with him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
The punishment isn't someone in his life. The punishment isn't the justice system. Everything he does that is a punishment, everything that happens to him that is justice, is a punishment doled out by himself and his actions.
Yeah, there was something. It's weird because in the second half of the season, of the final season, I was turning more and more away from Walt, where I was realizing, no, he needs to get what he has coming to him. But then, even in that last moment, even though I've seen Walt be very evil, and at this point, we're really behind Jesse, I think.
Yeah.
You hear the police sirens coming in the distance, and I wanted him to die before they got there.
Right.
Did you feel that?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like he could get caught and maybe helped, but I want him to die before they catch him.
Yeah.
So even in the end, I did want him ultimately to kind of get away.
Yeah. And in a sense, it's interesting because the issue of Walt and death is obviously huge throughout the series, where mm-hmm. we find out he has cancer early
in the first
on.
Episode.
And we get a couple moments throughout the series that seem to almost prefigure this ending. In the
like what?
In the pilot, when the RV has crashed and everything, and he hears the sirens coming, and it turns out they're fire trucks. They're not coming for him, but he thinks it's the police coming for him. He puts a gun under his chin and pulls the trigger. And the only reason he doesn't die is because the safety is on.
Really?
Yes.
Walt, I don't remember that. And I've been watching that episode right now.
Walt tries to commit suicide. It's at the end of the pilot.
Okay.
But he tries to commit suicide in the first episode because there's a sense of, I'm not going out on your terms.
The part I saw is where they get the cold open and Walt does the quick confession video the first time.
Yeah.
He runs out and he just points the gun at him. I'm like, this is before he's bad, supposedly. Yes. And he's, I don't know what his plan was, to shoot the cops?
Yeah.
So he wouldn't get caught?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when they come back to that scene at the end of the show. He's pointing the gun, and before the cops get there, he pulls it up, puts it under his chin, and pulls the trigger. And the safety is on, and that's the only reason he doesn't die.
Oh, my gosh.
But then later...
keep going, sorry.
The other scene is, this is in season two, when he finds out his cancer goes into remission, and he loses it in the bathroom.
Yeah, so he punches the paper towel dispenser.
And I think there again is he doesn't want... He wants to be able to do this stuff and then be done.
Like, are you point. Saying he wants to do it and get away with it by dying?
Yes. So I think there is, and then obviously in the finale, I think he resigns himself to the fact that he's going out. You know, he's going in there and he's not going to come out.
Yeah, I felt like that too. I think in the scene where he punches that paper towel dispenser and he loses it when he finds out he's not going to die. I felt like that was him saying, this is just how I interpreted it. He felt like he screwed up because if he would just stayed on the high road, he'd be with his family still and everything would be fine.
Huh.
But instead, he's done so much bad. How can he get back from that now?
See, what I thought, that's an interesting way of looking at it. What I've always thought watching that scene is that he knows he's evil, and he knows he's beyond redemption.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wants it to end at that point.
Well, now looking back, now knowing who he becomes,
yeah.
I could see that interpretation. But I always just thought he was full of regret at that moment, realizing he made a mistake by becoming Heisenberg.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff.
But we also have this sense in the way that evil works itself out in this series, that it doesn't just impact him and it impacts those around him. We talked about Skyler a little bit, but even like Hank's career is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse winds up being forced to do these terrible things like kill Gale.
Did you watch Talking Bad ever?
Not really.
So Talking Bad, I'd actually like to see. I've never seen one episode, but a friend of mine was telling me that in Talking Bad, and some on the last episode, that Vince Gilligan said he wrote a scene that didn't make it into the finale.
Did watch the last one.
Okay,
in the finale.
So you know what I'm talking about. Yep. This references Jesse. So if you think back, fans, to the scene where Walt takes the watch off and leaves it on the payphone.
Yeah.
He's at a gas station or something. He was supposed to, in that scene, go into the store and run into a former student. And this would have been sort of an analog for Jesse. But this student... You know, at the time, in high school, he was sort of like Jesse, where he was kind of a druggie, looked like he was going nowhere. So Walt was supposed to run into him and then see this guy's turned his life around. Things are going great. He's on a good track right now. And so Vince Gilligan's idea was that this character would have shed light on the fact that if Walt had just stayed out of Jesse's life, Jesse would have been fine.
Yeah.
But instead, Walt literally ruined Jesse's life.
Totally. Totally.
By infecting him.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the one character who gets this, though, because what's interesting to me is everyone around Walt is experiencing this, and they realize it's terrible, but they almost seem oblivious to the mm-hmm. fact that it's coming from him. The guy who gets it
Mike.
Is Mike.
Yeah.
And we get one of my clips I have is Mike makes this great speech at the beginning of season 5 that just sums this up perfectly.
Okay.
Mike, I know you don't care for me. We've had our issues, you and I. But I would suggest that you leave emotion out of this decision. I
are trouble. I'm sorry the kid here doesn't see it, but I sure as hell do. You are a time bomb. Tick, tick, ticking. And I have no intention of being around for the boom.
He was, unfortunately.
Yeah. I love Mike.
Yeah, me too.
And that's why, is that he's the one guy who just cuts straight through Walt's facade all the
time.
Why?
How does he see him so well?
I don't know. I think it's that in some sense, he's the guy Walt doesn't have anything on. Mm-hmm. He goes along with Walt at times, but Walt never really... Walt tries to manipulate Mike, and it never quite works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike unfortunately doesn't get out soon enough,
yeah.
as we'll get to. But I think Mike's the guy who is far enough removed from Walt's circle of influence where he doesn't get taken out by this.
It's interesting. Did you have more theological thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have a whole list.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, no, I'm ready for this.
The next thing I saw, that was kind of the effects of evil, the way that evil affects other people. But if we get more specific than just evil in general, obviously pride is one of the big themes this series pummels home in terms of why is Walt doing it? It's his pride, you know? And even the season one episode, Gray Matter, where he goes to Gretchen and Elliot, and he's offered money. He's offered a job with Gray Matter so that he can afford to get the treatment and doesn't need to do this stuff. And he says no because he's angry at Gretchen and Elliot still all these years.
And we didn't really know the full story until the last season, right?
Right. Well, I mean, we get the sense that he and Gretchen had an affair at one point. And
was it an affair or were they? I kind of had the feeling that maybe you're right. I thought that maybe they were at one time together and then later she chose the other guy. You think it was an affair?
I always thought it was an affair, but it could be either or. Okay. They were certainly romantically involved.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a falling out of sorts. And this would have been pre-Skylar, because Skylar's 10 years younger than Walt.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay. You keep going, but I want to come back to Gray Matter.
Okay. So pride. And again, Mike gets it here. And I love, this is the speech that he gives right before Walt kills him.
Okay.
This is one of the best Mike moments in the series. And again, where everyone else is confused and obfuscated by everything Walt is doing, and he's, you know, throwing the wool over their eyes and everything, Mike sees it perfectly, right up to his final moment.
I want those names, Mike. You owe me that much.
I don't owe you a damn thing. All of
there's
this
a few minor
falling
moments.
Apart like this is on you.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, that's some kind of logic right there, Mike. You screw up, get yourself followed by the DEA, and now suddenly this is all my fault. Why don't you walk me through this, Mike?
We had a good thing, you stupid son of a... We had spring. We had a lab. We had everything we needed. It all ran like clockwork. Oh, you could have shut your mouth, cooked, and made as much money as you ever needed. It was perfect. But no, you just had to blow it up. You and your pride and your ego. You just had to be the man. If you'd done your job, known your place, we'd all be fine right now.
I reversed the audio on the bad word. Yeah, and that's exactly right. Walt could have been satisfied under Gus and made his money, and still would have been bad, but he could have basically become Mike, somebody who does bad things but isn't inherently evil.
Yeah.
Who is part of a horrible business, but is satisfied at where he's at and is just playing a role that you could argue would be played by someone else. But Walt, as he says in season five, he's in the empire business.
Yes. And this is the scene that I wanted to get back to when it comes to the Gray Matter people.
Yeah.
Okay. So I never really knew, none of us did, the story and how they all tied in with why Walt was doing what he was doing. And we find out when Walt is talking to Jesse that he was a full partner with Gray Matter. I think we always knew that he had helped name them. That wasn't
right.
A
we
new
find
thing.
That out in season one.
Okay, and then for some reason he sold out his portion for $5,000, nothing, and now they're worth billions.
Yeah,
and so I feel like I mean, this is pretty much fact now. He's always wanted to build his own empire,
yep.
And now he finally has the capability, even though it's in a horrendous business. He doesn't care because he just wants to be the king.
Exactly.
And it all goes back to this mistake he made years ago.
Yep.
And his pride and having to I think he pridefully thought this would redeem him.
Yeah, if not redeem, at least undo it in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's why, you know, there's things that happen that make the confrontation with Gus inevitable. But Walt was never going to be satisfied under Gus for very long.
Well, yeah, that's true. I think Gus trying to kill Walt, and I think that probably sped things along a little bit.
But that Walt brings that on himself mm-hmm. by defying Gus.
Yeah.
Now, he defies him to save Jesse, but still, it's that if it hadn't been that, it would have been something. He was going to go after Gus eventually.
Gus was a great character.
I love Gus.
I didn't rank my top characters. I should have. Let's do that in the next episode, too. Okay. It'll be pretty easy.
Okay. But what you just said leads us to the next set of theological themes I have, which is that there's a strong sense of free will versus predestination in this show. Perfect example is Grey Matter. Okay. In a sense, Walt's choices 30 years ago in the time of the show, you know, whenever he was in his early mid-20s when he sold out his share of Grey Matter, that starts the ball rolling so that what mm-hmm. happens to him is, in a sense, destiny. That's what puts him into that synthetic life that we talked about earlier.
So the teacher, that was never meant to be him.
No. No. He put himself into that fake life, which is a choice, free will, which created a sense of destiny that led him to the breaking point where he again makes a series of choices that lead him into becoming Heisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
But the seeds for Heisenberg are a result of, in a sense, the predestination he laid out for himself that he can't escape at that point. And so and you see this with a lot of characters. For example, Jesse he at one point embraces his role as a villain and he makes bad life choices mm-hmm. that get him to this point. But then there's another sense where he can't get out. You know, he tries to go to his parents for help early in season one and he can't get it. And he, you know, is going to try and escape with Jane in season two and he doesn't do it. And so and those things aren't his fault. And then ultimately he's kidnapped by Todd and literally forced to stay in the business. And so again, with Jesse, it's like there's free will, there's choice, but then there's also this strong sense of predestination where this guy literally can't get out. He's stuck where he is.
I think I said earlier that I thought, yeah, I totally agree with what you're just saying. It reminded me of, I think I said earlier that Hank's death was one of the most tragic, if not the most tragic. But when Jesse's latest girlfriend, Todd killed her, that was devastating to me because she's a character that's really on the peripheral, she's not really a huge player in this game.
Yeah.
And just to have her taken out like that when she has a son and Jesse just staying there
but she's somebody that Jesse loves and moves his life away from her to keep her safe.
Exactly. So he's trying everything he can.
He loves her so much he sacrifices his relationship with her to keep her safe and she dies. And that moment was just
I had to look away. I couldn't watch it. I mean, there's other scenes throughout the show where I had to look away, but that one, it wasn't necessarily that I was worried it was going to be graphic. I just couldn't watch it.
It's so intense. And what a great villain Todd was.
He was. He's a good actor, actually.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Matt Damon.
He does.
He's a good actor. I could see him doing lots of, he could play a lot of different characters. He seems really nice, but he's evil to the core.
Yeah. Yeah, he, you know who he reminds me of is the mayor from Buffy season 3, where this is a really nice and great guy who just happens to be completely evil as well.
Have you ever seen Matt Damon's movie The Talented Mr. Ripley?
No.
He reminds me sort of that version of Matt Damon, just bad.
Yeah.
But kind of nice.
Yeah, the actor who plays him, Jesse Plemons, is one of the main characters in Friday Night Lights.
Oh, is he?
And the characters he plays there and Todd are very, very similar, with the exception that Todd is evil.
Yeah.
And so it's really weird now watching Friday Night Lights because it's like, this is almost the exact same character as Todd, except that Todd's evil.
Todd murders kids.
Yeah, I just keep waiting for Landry, who's the guy in Friday Night Lights, to start cooking meth and killing people.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I like how Todd looked up to Mr. White.
Yeah, he's very respectful.
Very, very respectful.
You know, the moment with Todd, though, that's so defining is in Dead Freight.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite episodes.
Man. That was the late night episode for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's such a great... It's so intense. And they pull off this heist, and they're celebrating, and we had the really bizarre cold open of the kid where it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, is this a flashback? Is this Jesse or something like that? And Todd...
The second you see him, you're like, no. Oh, no.
Todd doesn't even hesitate.
No.
Now, here's... To go back to the whole thing of Walt taking on characteristics and how that's subconscious, Jesse does... Or not, Todd does it intentionally. He takes the tarantula this kid has and keeps it of his own choice. So there's almost a sense of... Yeah, of that where Walt is almost doing this subconsciously. Todd is even more evil where he's aware of what he's doing.
So is Todd like a next generation Walt?
Or he's just...
He's not as smart as Walt.
No, he's nowhere near as smart as Walt. But he's Walt, but that much worse.
So Walt became a chemistry teacher, which is not a bad profession, but it just feels like he came from this huge organization or a growing organization.
Yeah.
Why do you think he made that life choice? I'm not, again, my wife is a teacher, so this is not anything against teachers. I'm just saying it seems like he had the mind to... maybe have his own corporation or something like that.
Right. So, or even in the episode Grey Matter where they're at the party and he says, well, I gravitated more towards education. And the people who are talking to him go, well, what university are you teaching at?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. I mean, why wasn't he a university professor? Like, why do you think he became a high school chemistry teacher?
I think that, you know, we never get the background on that, so it's somewhat speculation, but I think a lot of it is just he makes this choice, and out of bitterness, he moves as far away from who he was as possible.
Mm-hmm. There's a scene, and I think it's in season one, where you see his awards, and it's like hanging on the wall.
Yep.
Isn't that right? What kind of, do you remember any of the awards he won?
I don't. I know, I think one of them was like contribution to work that eventually won the Nobel Prize or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
So we had free will and predestination. And then we also have duality. And this goes to what we were just talking about, where why does he do that? I think it's a choice to bury his true self, who he really is. And what's very frightening about that, and this is one of the places where I think this series really needs to hit home for us as we think about it theologically, because we all tend to do that in different ways where we are hurt or, you know, stuff happens in life, disappointment, what have you, and we bury those parts of our personality. And here we see that happen with Walt. He buries this genius, and then the genius comes back 30 years later as Heisenberg, whereas if he hadn't buried this guy 30 years before... Whether he fell out with Grey Matter or not, he could have been a good person. And instead, he doesn't. And now when those good qualities in him come back, they come back evil.
Oh, so you think, in a sense, he buried this part of himself, and all of a sudden, inside of him, starting to fester this bitterness.
Yes.
And so Heisenberg was becoming a part of him early on, and all of a sudden this moment where he found out he had cancer snapped Heisenberg to reality.
Heisenberg is the corruption of all of Walt's good God-given talent, his genius. And because of the bitterness, that what should have been a good thing is corrupted.
You know, I should have researched this, but where did he get the name Heisenberg?
I think he's the scientist who came up with the atomic bomb or worked on it or something like that. But yeah. And so we have this sense of Walt's false self as teacher versus who he is when he's fully awake and alive, to use his words, as Heisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a question, though. When in the series does Walt die and Heisenberg take over?
I see where you're going with us. Completely?
Yeah.
I think it is in the episode Half Measure.
Okay.
Do you know which episode that is?
Yes.
It's an amazing ending where Jesse's mad because these two drug dealers that are hired by Gus, they actually kill a kid, right? And so Jesse's going to go kill them. But you're watching this and you're like, he's no match. They all have guns. He's going to get killed. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Walt runs over these two people. Do you remember this?
Yep.
So graphic. Yep. One is being dragged under the tires, messed up, and the other one's mangled, laying on the ground. Walt walks up to him, shoots him, and tells Jesse to run.
Yeah. Now, there Walt is still doing it to save Jesse, though.
Okay.
So is Walt still... Because some people would say it's when he lets Jane die, and that's the moment he loses his soul. Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
And I think you
can... But that happened already, though.
Yeah, that was earlier. So I think you can make a lot of good arguments for that. and I don't necessarily have a strong opinion, but let me give you an argument for one moment where Walt might die completely. And
I take mine back. I forgot about the Jane thing.
Yeah.
Because that's in season two. The episode I just mentioned is the second to last of season three.
Yep.
I love that look that Walt has. I think that's his first point blank kill.
Yeah.
I think Jane was his first allowance of death.
Right.
And I think that guy was his first murder. Is that? No.
Crazy Eight he kills.
Crazy Eight, yeah.
But yeah, there's a sense of necessity there and everything.
Okay, so go ahead.
Season four, episode Crawl Space. Towards the end.
Oh,
this is the one, yes, where Walt basically becomes the Joker, you know, at the end, which, by the way, everyone's talking, you know, Bryan Cranston should play Lex Luthor. No. If Bryan Cranston plays a DC villain,
Joker,
that scene should get him to play the Joker, period.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about, but just talk about why.
Okay, so Walt, at the end of this episode,
He needs the money
because he has called Saul's vacuum cleaner guy,
yes,
and he's going to get out of town. Walt is prepared to skip town at this point. But Skyler has given the money to Ted to get him out of his financial trouble so that she doesn't get indicted by the IRS. Okay. So Walt gets home. There's no money. And he absolutely snaps. Here's why I think that's the moment where Walt... I'll give you the theory. I mean, I could be swayed to a lot of these arguments. But here's the argument for why that's the moment when Walt dies. Up till that point, he's still showing concern for his family. He wants to get them out of town. After that moment, it's all about killing Gus and building his empire. That's where the last shred of Walt is gone. But there's a strong visual reason as well. We see
camera
zooming out of him laying down as he's in the crawl space. That's how the episode ends.
I know exactly what you're saying.
How does the finale end?
Yep.
Exact same way. Finale is the death of Heisenberg. Crawl space is the death of Walt.
That's good. That's good, Ben.
Yeah. Isn't that pretty cool?
We just fist bumped. You can't hear the high fives.
Yes.
Wow. That's good. As soon as you started saying that, I could see exactly where you're going.
Yep. So
there's no way that was an accident, right?
No. I think it's very intentional. Now, you could say
But upon first viewing, you don't know what that means. You have to see the finale.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the last shot of the finale is totally a visual callback to that moment.
Amazing.
So I think that all those other moments, like him letting Jane die and him killing the two guys with his car, absolutely are moments where Heisenberg takes a huge step forward and Walt is taking more and more of a backseat. But where is the last shred of Walt gone? That scene. Because after that, what does he do? That's when he poisons Brock. That's when he kills Gus. That's, you know, where he just full out Heisenberg from that point on.
Wow. Good analysis.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's pretty sweet.
Wow.
Moral relativism is a huge theme in the show, especially early on. There's a fascinating scene where Hank and Walt are at, you know, a party, or they're at the baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
And Hank pulls out Cuban cigars for them to smoke, which are illegal. And Walt starts in on this whole conversation about how, well, you know, it seems pretty arbitrary, isn't it, what's legal and what's not. And we see him making the moral relativistic argument, and Hank just shoots him down with it, and it's like, no, you can't go that way. It's like, yeah, I mean, okay, there's Cuban cigars, but that's way different than what you're talking about, where cocaine and marijuana and all this stuff is just morally neutral in the way Walt's arguing for. And it's a very strong statement in terms of what the show is trying to say, that we don't get that excuse. In fact, Hank makes the statement, there's a lot of guys in lockup who will say the same thing, and so we get the point made loud and clear that this morally relativistic argument that Walt is making, he's making it to justify evil.
Yeah.
It's not a legitimate argument.
Okay.
And that's really powerful to have that come in our postmodern age in a show like this.
And what season was that?
Season one.
Wow.
That's episode five or six.
So right before Heisenberg is unveiled.
Yep.
So already Walt is trying to justify what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so. I want to rewatch this now because I was gonna just watch the pilot just for this episode that we're recording.
Yeah,
I should rewatch the whole series.
That's what I wanted to. Well, the stuff from the end was so fresh in my mind. Plus, in my mind, one of the big tests in terms of how great is this series is, does it hold up on rewatching? Last episode in the news episode, we were talking about 24, and I made the point that rewatching 24 is when it fell apart.
Yeah.
So I've rewatched most of the show with Annie once. Now I'm rewatching it again. It absolutely holds up. And that to me is a big test.
That's amazing.
You can pull the wool over the audience's eyes and get them caught up in the tension enough for the first viewing to be successful.
Do you feel tense while watching it a second, third time?
Not in the same way. It's still very compelling, but you get to notice other things.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to catch some of these things you're catching.
It's kind of like, you know, I've read the Game of Thrones books lots of times, and I've been rereading them very slowly over this year and doing some video reviews of the books as I finish.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the points I've made in there is that, okay, when you're not so caught up in the plot, you notice all these stuff. So I've been talking more about the books from a literary critical perspective of what's George R. R. Martin doing in terms of literary criticism in writing these novels. Very different perspective than you get when you're like, oh crap, who's going to die on the next page?
Yeah.
It's like, I know everything. There's no tension for me reading that series. But that's okay because I get a lot more out of it this way.
Interesting. Oh, that's good.
And then finally, the last one I have here before we go into our lists in the next episode is Walt as an anti-hero. So, Matt, I want to ask you this. It's undeniable that Walter White is an appealing character.
Yeah.
And we want to cheer for him, even though he's totally evil. Why?
I've been trying to think about it in preparation for this because he's the protagonist, but he is bad, and we see him do evil things, and we still want him to get away with it for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't have a good explanation. I don't want to give the typical, well, he's the main character in a series, and we follow him, and so we're prone to like him.
But yeah, I think it goes to something we were talking about earlier with how Walt has buried his true self, and I made the point that we all do that to certain respects, and so there's something very compelling about wanting to live out your true self in its fullest sense. And so I think in a way Walt is doing what we all want to do. And I think that that's a really dangerous thing to think about for us, because I think that that's a God-given desire. I think it's important, but it's not enough to just say, go be who you are, you know, go follow your dreams. Yeah. It's like, well, no, there's a greater wisdom needed than that. But at the same time, I think this show is very good at exposing in all of us this inherent desire to live out that true self in the same way that Walt does. You know, we don't want the synthetic life where we're eating faking, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good, I think that's a good analysis, because he's doing everything that, not necessarily, it's not that we want to be drug dealers,
right?
But Walt is doing what we want to do, acting out everything that he wants, like all of the things are inside of him, he puts out into the open.
Yeah.
And he tells people, you know, what he wants. He orders people around. He is the most powerful man in the room.
Yep. His dead-end job doesn't matter anymore, you know, which is obviously a big fantasy for a lot of people, is just being able to walk away from your job and all that. And he does. I mean, he stays in the teacher position for a while into season
doesn't
two.
Doesn't he, like, does he flirt with the principal or something?
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah, he comes on to her or something at one point. And that's when he gets fired. And
that's really bad.
But it's like
that's weird that he would do that when we've talked about his devotion to his family. Like, what's that about?
Well, exactly. How devoted is he to his, or is he just devoted to cheap thrills at that point? And he stays in his job for about half the series. It's beginning of season three when he's finally let go.
Oh, that far?
Yeah.
He's a teacher through seasons one, two, and three?
Yeah.
I would have said season one and two.
No, I was thinking it was season two, but we do see after the plane crashes, there's like an all-school assembly.
Oh my gosh.
And he leads that, or he's a part of that anyway. But he doesn't care about his job at all after the pilot episode. You know, he kind of is very absent-minded in lectures, and we see, you know, they're after... they find out the lab equipment's been stolen from the school. They hold like a school assembly or whatever, and he's totally disinterested in what's going on. And there's all these moments like that where, and I think that's a fantasy for a lot of people.
Let me just ask you this question in return. So Walter White is an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Anti-heroes are super popular in general in all sorts of media right now. Is it the answer that you just gave? They act out in ways that we secretly want to. Why are anti-heroes so popular?
I think that's it. It's compelling to the freedom to do what you want and the power to carry it out are very compelling desires in all of us. And to me, the solution to that isn't to say, oh, you know, crush that, get rid of it. It's to realize that, yes, God created us to be somebody. He gave us this talent, but that to also realize it matters how you go about that process of becoming who you were meant to be. Yeah. I mean, I've seen, I won't go into details for the sake of confidentiality, but I've seen people in real life who have thrown away mm-hmm. who they are for the sake of following their true selves. Mm-hmm. And they've hurt a ton of people in the process, obviously not at Walter White levels,
yeah.
but we've seen stuff like this, and probably most of you listening can think of people in your life where you've seen stuff like this on the small scale. And in a sense, it's a very understandable desire. And it's something that I think we all want, but it's pursuing it with wisdom. It's pursuing it in a way that's submitting to Christ and submitting to the church and to faith and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it is important for us to acknowledge that desire, but also realize we're very much playing with fire when we start to say, I want to be who I'm yeah. meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very vague thing to say. And a lot of times when people pursue who they're meant to be, it's an excuse to destroy things without consequences.
Ben, this is a great analysis.
Thank you, sir.
I think we should stop here
okay.
and go on to the next episode.
I have to pull a Kobe and
go to the bathroom?
Go pee before the next episode.
Oh, no, that's no problem. So let me hit the music. This was great. You had some awesome thoughts I'd never even considered. I want to go back and watch it again. So
yeah.
Here's what you're going to get in the next episode. Top episodes. Top characters. Is Breaking Bad the greatest TV show of all time? We'll discuss it here on The Sci-Fi Christian.
Alrighty.
Episode 196.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
We are The Sci-Fi Christians.
Goodbye.
Signing off.
And vacation horror stories.
And vacation horror stories.
I also have hot moments. I don't know if you want to do that, or I can just talk about some of my favorite moments in the show.
You want to do top moments too?
That's what I have a list prepared.
Yeah, we can do top moments. Perfect.
And what they pointed out was, I believe this was number 2 out of 10.
2 of 10.
2 of 10. And she pointed out that the witchcraft stuff in Harry Potter wasn't really a problem, but the fact that the kids were breaking the rules
mm-hmm.
was a problem, and that did influence her negatively. And I believe I asked you the question, I don't remember if it was on air or not, but I asked the question, you know, in a lot of the stuff we like fiction that's morally gray and morally mm-hmm. ambiguous and
yeah.
that maybe includes the heroes doing some non-heroic things. And because, you know, we're adults, we're able to handle the complexity of that. How does stuff like that need to be handled differently in Harry Potter? And what I maybe the way I maybe want to put this is to ask you, to what extent are morally gray or morally ambiguous situations appropriate in mm-hmm. young adult fiction,
yeah,
if ever?
And as I've thought about this, it makes me think that, you know, this question makes me think that maybe it's not okay in general. Because
even for adults?
No. Aren't we talking about young adults?
Well, yeah, but you said in general.
So in general for young adults.
Curious if you were broadening yeah. it out or not.
Yeah. No, morally gray, interesting to us, but it might not be good for an audience who can't really comprehend all the ins and outs of what, you know, people are trying to get across with this idea of morally gray. It's because the world when you're young is black and white.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that as an adult watching this stuff, it's more than just interesting to me. This is the stuff that really challenges my thinking about morality mm-hmm. and helps me to grow in terms of my thought process on this. For example, yeah. I'll give you a good example okay. of this. I just started watching the series Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And the premise of this series, this is a fascinating series from a moral standpoint, is it's about a chemistry teacher named Walter White who is diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. So mm-hmm. he's given 2 years to live. He's told you're going to die within 2 years. And, you know, he has a disabled son. He and his wife have a second child on the way. So his family is not going to be. His wife is a stay-at-home mom. So they're not in a great financial position. Mm-hmm. He decides that he is going to cook crystal meth in order to provide for his family.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that's what it was about.
That's the premise of the show.
Okay.
And so he, for good reason, starts down a very, very dark path.
And it's all about how he gets sucked into this world, and even though his motivations are good and he's genuinely trying to do the right thing, the way every time he makes another moral compromise, he gets sucked further and further into this world. So it's all about the moral ambiguity of this character. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible show, definitely for adults only, but an incredible show to make you think about the morality involved with something like this, the way it involves you in his moral decisions. And for me, I come away from every episode just thinking about these choices, and it's a really great show, not just for entertainment, but in terms of helping me to grow as a person and really think about morality and some of the stuff that the show throws out there. Obviously, I'm not recommending that kids watch Breaking Bad, but is there ever a way, because that's so beneficial to me as an adult, is there ever a way for kids or teenagers to benefit in a similar way, or is that just completely out the window?
I think that the only way we could do it, and I want to come back to this more later, is if a parent walks a child through that. So if you are watching something that has some of these morally gray characters, you talk through that with your child. And don't leave it necessarily up to them to come to those conclusions themselves, because they might not be able to put the pieces together, you know, with a younger brain.
Right. Like, I think especially something like Harry Potter, where, you know, they really don't show very many consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get like 10 points from Gryffindor, but, you know, that's about it. There aren't really tons and tons of consequences for them breaking the rules. It's kind of presented as being more for the greater good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the novels really effectively make you wrestle with that decision.
Yeah, because there is, you know, the often said idea that this idea of if you're doing it for the greater good, then it's okay if you do a little bad.
Yeah.
How can you really explain that without using exact words to a child? I mean, when Harry Potter is making some of those choices, we as the audience know that he's the good guy, so it must be okay. But we're not really told, well, he's doing wrong, you know, but in the end, it's supposed to get to something better.
Yeah. I think the place where I'm struggling, because I don't disagree with anything you're saying, and I think you're right that things do need to be a little bit more black and white. I think where I'm struggling, though, is that how are we teaching our kids to think? Because if it's always just kind of served up to them on a silver platter, and this is right, this is wrong, I'm not saying that's bad, but that isn't how life feels. Mm-hmm. Even as a kid, that's not how life feels. How do we teach our kids to really think in complex moral categories then?